Tonight I want to just use this one verse that we read as our text a moment ago. Preach on a sermon entitled, Blessed is the Nation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And as we talked a little bit this morning, if you look back through history, anybody that would take an honest look and would consider all the facts would have to say that God certainly has blessed America. He has blessed our country. And I believe he has blessed our country because those that came before us, those that started this country, those that saw it through its fledgling years, those that saw it through the first 100, 150, 200 years, they said from the beginning, they said down through the years, not only in their words, but in their actions, in God we trust. They said as they lived their lives and as they conducted their individual business and the business of the country, they said, God is going to be our Lord. And God kept his promise. He said, if you'll make me your Lord, I will bless your nation. And I can't help but wonder as we look, and by the way, I think that word blessed, some people look at it and say happy, but it's more than happiness. It's the favor of God. It's the blessings of God that he bestows on an individual and on a people, on a nation. And so when we say blessed is the nation, we could say favored is the nation, or God favored is the nation whose God is the Lord. And as we look at our nation today, you can't help but ask the question, does God still favor our nation? Is his blessing still being poured on our nation? I mean, when you stop and consider that, over 60% of all marriages end in divorce. When you stop and think about that, it is legal for us to end the life of little babies that are still in their mother's womb. When you stop and think that we have state after state that are passing laws that say it's okay for homosexuals to be married and to form families and to adopt children and to be protected as a protected class so that they can't be discriminated against. When you stop and consider that, we can't have prayer in public places. You can't, even in Congress, where they've had a prayer ever since they started, if you mention Jesus' name and they know they're going to do it, they won't let you pray, even in Congress, in Jesus' name. You can't display the Ten Commandments anymore in public buildings. And I can't wait for somebody to say, we've got to go scrape it off all the buildings that it's already on. And so you got to ask the question, is God still favoring our nation? You have to fight at Christmas time to display a manger scene on public property. Every organization can meet in public schools except for Bible clubs. We're still fighting the efforts to take In God We Trust off our money and Under God out of our Pledge of Allegiance. And I believe that we are not favored by God as we once were. I believe we don't have the blessings of God as we once did. And maybe it's because we have not made him Lord as we used to, as was done in the past. Now, I'll tell you, God hasn't changed. The Bible says he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. The Bible says in Malachi, chapter 3, I can't remember the exact verse. I think it's verse 6. God says, I am the Lord, I change not. And perhaps if God hasn't changed, then it's we who have changed. And we have ceased making our God our Lord. It's like the story I've told you before about the man and woman that were driving in their car. They reach setting on their side, and the wife looks over at her husband and says, honey, do you remember when we used to drive in the car and we sat just as close together as we could? And he looked over at his wife and said, yeah, I remember that, and I haven't moved. I'm still sitting in the same spot I was sitting in. And I'll tell you tonight, God hasn't moved. Same God. Same blessings available to us if we'll claim the promise that's in this verse. And I believe it's a promise. I believe it's a promise like all the other promises of God that has a condition. The condition is that we make our God our Lord. And the promise is that if we make our God our Lord, he will bless or favor our nation. We don't get the one without the other. We don't get the favor. We don't get the blessings without making our God our Lord. And so tonight I want to mention three things. Three simple things that if he's our Lord, we will do. If he really is, if our God is our Lord, then these things we will do. And here's the sad part. I think these are things we've quit doing. And again, I know I'm preaching to the Sunday night crowd. I know I'm preaching to the people that want God's blessing on our nation. And I'll remind you in a little bit, it starts with us. Doesn't start with the people out there. It starts with the people in here. Doesn't start with the people that don't believe God. It starts with the people that are called by his name. And so there are three simple things that we need to do to make our God our Lord. Number one, we need to listen to him. Don't tell me that your God is your Lord if you don't listen to him. And you say, preacher, I've never heard God speak. He's never spoken to me in an audible voice. How do I listen to God? You listen to God as you get into this book. You listen to God as you read this book, as you study this book, as you meditate in this book. You listen to God as you come to Sunday school and listen to a Sunday school teacher who prepares and prays and teaches you from the Word of God. You listen as you come on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and as we open the Word of God and we hear it preached and we hear it taught, and the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts and speaks to our minds and tells us what God wants us to hear. You take every opportunity that you can to immerse yourself, to bathe yourself in this book. You read it every day. You take time to memorize it. And you want to hear it. I mean, it's not like you get up and come on Sunday and you say, well, it's Sunday. I gotta go to Sunday school. I got to go to church. No, it's not. You don't come just because it's your duty. You get up on Sunday morning and say, hey, it's Sunday. I get to go to Sunday school. I get to go to church. I get to hear the Word of God taught. I get to hear the Word of God preached. I'll remind you tonight that every word is important. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Every word is there for our benefit. Every verse is there for our instruction. Every chapter, every book is in this Bible because God wanted it there. He put it there. He wrote it as he put it there. And he put every word, every verse, every chapter, every book, all of it together for our benefit, for us. And so we need to read it. We need to study it. We need to meditate on it. We need to talk to others about it. If he is Lord, if our God is our Lord, we will listen to him. I was thinking this afternoon of a way to illustrate this. And I read a story in a sermon that I was reading a couple of weeks ago about a dad who came. I think his son was 21 years old. And he came on his son's 21st birthday, and he gave him a letter from his father. So it would have been the son's grandfather. Now, the grandfather had already gone to heaven. He had died several years ago, and he had written a letter to his grandson when his grandson was a little baby. And in that letter, he had expressed his love for his grandson. And he had expressed the desires of his heart for how his grandson would live his life, how he would get saved, how he would live for the Lord. And he wrote this letter, sealed it up, gave it to his son, and said, I want you to give this to my grandson when he turns 21. When he reaches the age of majority, when he turns 21, I want you to give him this letter. Well, that young man treasured, cherished that letter. The story goes that he would read it every day for a while, and then once a week for the rest of his life. Once a week, he took that letter out of his drawer, and he read how his grandfather loved him. He read how his grandfather had desires for his life, godly desires for his life. And the testimony of that young man was that that letter from his grandfather shaped his life, steered his life from the time that he got it when he was 21 years old, the rest of his life. And I was thinking to myself, we have a letter from somebody that loves us more than anybody else in our life. We have a letter from somebody that has some desires for how we live our life, has some goals and passions for how we live our life. And that letter is from our God. And I thought that that young man's example was a telling example to us. I mean, every day for a few years, and then at least once a week, to again read that just a 2-page letter from his grandfather, to be reminded how much his grandfather loved him, to be reminded that there was somebody that loved him that had some desires for his life. And again, I submit to you that this was written by somebody that loves us, somebody that had some desires for our life, and we ought to go back to it over and over and over and over and over again, because if he's our Lord, we will want to listen to him. Number two, if he's our Lord, we will want to obey him. Don't tell me that he's your Lord and you don't do what he says. You say, preacher, where do you start? Well, I would say, why don't you start with the Ten Commandments? I think that'd be a good place to start. I think it'd be a good place to start for every Christian to know the Ten Commandments and to live by the Ten Commandments every day of their life. No other gods before him. No graven images. Don't use his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother. Don't kill. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't lie. Don't covet. I think it'd be a good, pretty good start if we started with the Ten Commandments. And then I think it would be a good idea if we went on. I mean, I could quote many verses tonight, but I'll go to the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5 because it uses that same word that's in our text tonight, blessed. Favored of God. And by the way, a nation is not favored of God if a people are not favored of God. There's no nation that exists apart from its people. And if a nation is going to make God its Lord, then its people have to make God its Lord. And Jesus said, blessed or favored of God are those that are poor in spirit, are those that mourn, are those that are meek, are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Of those that, blessed are those that are merciful, pure in heart, peacemakers, persecuted for righteousness' sake. If he is Lord, then we will not only listen, but we will obey. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 46, "And why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" He's talking to his disciples. He was talking to the people that in his day gathered around him. And they were calling him Lord. And he said, why are you calling me Lord if you don't do the things that I say? I mean, don't call me. I'm not your Lord if you don't obey me. I'm not your Lord if you don't listen and do the things I say. He went on to say in verse 48 of Luke chapter 6. Verse 47. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings, heareth my sayings, listen to what I say, and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. Now again, I'm going to read a couple verses that are very familiar, and you may have never thought about them from a nation perspective, but I submit to you they apply as much to a nation as they do to an individual. He said, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man who built an house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. And then he goes on to say, but he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. And again, we usually think about those verses as it applies to us as individuals. We as individuals need to build our house upon the foundation of a rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we build our life on that foundation, the storms of life can come and they will not shake us. We will hold, we will stand, because our life is built on the Lord Jesus Christ. Those whose lives as individuals are not built on that rock, when the storms come, the Bible says that house will fall and the ruin of it will be great. Now think about that when it comes to America. Think about that when it comes to our country, to our nation. If we hear and do as a nation, then we are built upon a solid foundation. And the storms that come, as they will, cannot shake us because we are built upon that foundation. And I would submit to you tonight that throughout most of our history, our nation was built on that foundation. The foundation of listening to what God said and doing it. And as the storms came up against our nation, there were some pretty big storms in the past. Wars, depressions, famines, all sorts of things that came against our nation, but it stood. It stood. Because we were a people that listened and obeyed the word of God. I submit to you tonight, I don't know if we're still that kind of nation. I don't know if when the storms come, as they are and as they will, if we will stand. Or if we'll fall under the category of that second man who built the house and the floods came and the house fell because it had no foundation. And again, I'll submit to you tonight, it doesn't start with the people out there. It starts with us. It starts with the people in here. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, the Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. We need to get back to being a nation that listens to what God says through this book and then just doing it. Just doing it. It doesn't matter who we offend. It doesn't matter what people say. And look, this is a book that tells us to love others. I mean, this is a book that tells us to love everybody. I mean, we hate the sin, but we love the sinner. And we need to get back to being a nation that stands on this book and does what this book says if we want to be favored by our God. And then number three, we listen, we obey, and then we love. If he's our Lord, we're going to love him. We're going to love him. What's the greatest commandment? Jesus said, this is the great commandment. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. This is the first and great commandment. Don't tell me he's your Lord if you don't love him. If you don't love him. And we love him because he first loved us. In John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what we pictured in the Lord's Supper tonight. We pictured a God that loved us so much that he sent his Son to Calvary's cross to die in our place, to pay for our sins. The Bible says every one of us is a sinner. There's none of us that deserve that kind of love. None of us deserve that act of sacrifice that Jesus made when he went to the cross and allowed the Father to lay all our sins upon him. None of us deserve that. I mean, there's nothing that we could offer up and say to God, well, yeah, I deserve that kind of love. No, well, what we deserve is to be separated from him forever. The wages of sin is death. And if you're here tonight and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, you're just like all the rest of us. We're all sinners. We all deserve hell. But the only difference is some of us are saved sinners and some of us are still lost sinners. The saved sinners are the ones that have come to Jesus and accepted what he did for us on Calvary, received that gift of salvation, and asked him to save us. And he'll do the same thing for you tonight. He'll save you if you ask him. But if he's our Lord, we're going to love him. And just like his love for us was expressed by giving his Son, our love for him needs to be expressed by our giving to him. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, the Bible says, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's just reasonable. I mean, God loved you enough to die for it. He gave you a new life in Jesus Christ. He has a will for each one of our lives. He has a desire for our lives, a plan for our lives. And we love him when we say, you are Lord, and I offer my body, my life, as a living sacrifice. Help me find your will. Help me do it. You are my Lord. I have no better plan for my life. Your plan for my life is the best one there is. And so I give myself to you as my Lord. I give my body to you as a living sacrifice to fulfill the purpose, the desire that you had when you made me. And so it all comes down to this one question. Do we want God to favor our nation? Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Favored is the nation whose God is the Lord. And if he's our Lord, we're going to listen. We're going to obey. We're going to love. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the challenge that it has for us. Father, we're your people. We're called by your name, Christians. I pray, Father, that we would humble ourselves. We'd pray. We'd seek your face. We'd turn from our wicked ways. And then, Father, look to you to hear from heaven, to forgive our sin, to heal our land. Dear God, we need your favor. We need your blessings upon this land. So tonight, help us to do what we need to do to get them. I pray if there's somebody here that's never asked Jesus to be their Savior, tonight would be the night. They see that they're a sinner, there's a penalty for that sin, and then Jesus paid it, and if they'd come and ask him, he would save them. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would draw that one that doesn't know Christ to him tonight. Just bless this time of invitation. Use it to build your kingdom. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.